This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The praise is for God, the Lord, keeper of all the worlds, the cherisher, the sustainer of the universe. We witness that He is one. We worship Him and do not associate anything with Him in worship. Worship none but God. And we witness that Muhammad, born in Mecca, Arabia, better than 1400 years ago, is the seal of the prophets, the last prophet, God's servant and His messenger. The prayers and the peace be upon him, offering that traditional salute. And peace be upon us, God's peace be upon us. Ameen. Again, we are happy to be here on this day in the fast month, blessed month of Ramadan. For a few minutes, not too long, and if you knew how long I preached when I first became a leader after the passing of my father, you will agree with me that this one's going to be very short. We want to correct some things that hurt our chances to live a good and progressive life in America and in the world, for that matter, as Muslims. Why should we have ignorance or anything else in our way, holding us back, denying us opportunities, if we have those among us who know better? Those who know better should inform those who don't know. We are fasting the month of Ramadan. We should be aware that fasting didn't start with Muslims. Fasting has been practiced by people, spiritual people, people of faith, for thousands of years. It's an old, very old practice. It outdates Jesus Christ. It outdates Moses. Before Christians formed as followers of Christ Jesus, and before Jews formed as followers of Moses. That's a long time ago. Fasting is very, very old, or I should say an ancient practice, fasting. We know in our holy book, God introduced to us fasting. And if you are reading the Quran in this month, as it is the practice of believers, Muslims in this month, to read the Quran daily, before you finish the 29 days of the fast month, this month, fasting, and finish the 30 sections of the Quran that are usually finished in 30 days, which is the average time, average number of days for this month, you are going to read a lot about fasting. Fasting is done by people for many different reasons. The most common one is to lose weight, to gain willpower, spiritual power. For us, it is very clear why we fast the month of Ramadan. In the Hadith Qudsi means sacred, holy. Hadith means sayings of Muhammad, and the Prophet. Peace be upon him and upon all the servants, the messengers, the prophets of God. He said in Hadith Qudsi are those hadiths, are those sayings of Muhammad that were inspired by Allah. They are second to the Quran when it comes to closeness to God. The Quran is the direct word of God. The Hadith Qudsi, inspired word of God, inspired words of God. And in the Hadith Qudsi, God revealed by inspiration to Muhammad that fasting, he says, I quote, fasting is for me. Exact quote. Fasting is for me. Our fast is for Allah. For Allah. It's not to lose weight. We shouldn't corrupt the spirit of the fast by having some other thing, personal thing in mind that you're hoping to lose. Oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in Ramadan. If you say that in innocence, God forgave you. But from now on, don't mix up that with the Ramadan fast. Fast for Allah. You fast to obey God. You fast to increase your willpower so that you'll be stronger spiritually to resist temptations and obey God. You fast so you can get nearer to Allah, not in physical measurement, like I get nearer to the mic by a movement forward, but spiritual closeness to God. You want to get closer to God in your obedience. Closer to God in your obedience. Closer to God means closer to His will and His purpose for human beings. You want to get closer to Him so you are more obedient to what He wants for human beings in this life on this earth. Here and also hereafter, fasting is for God. Everything else belongs to God. Everything else should be for God. Yes, fasting is for God. Abraham is the patriarch in three religions, Christianity, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, in order of their historical, or their presence in history. They all identify Abraham as a man of strong faith. Strong faith. And Abraham is identified as a man who didn't just give his spiritual life to God, he gave himself wholly, the whole person, to God. He says, I give myself to you completely, my whole self. That's what he said. He gave his heart, his spirit, his soul, his mind, his body, his everything to God. And God says of Abraham in our scripture, it's in the Bible too, if you can understand it or find it, he says that Abraham completed his obligation to his God. He fulfilled it. And the covenant was given through Abraham. Praise be to Allah. He made this covenant with his God. And all of his followers became people of the covenant. And we know in Christianity now that I'm speaking low like this because I tried everything. The last thing I tried, I went to the pharmacist just before I came here. I went last night, they were closed. I went to the pharmacist and I sat at consultation window. I went to that window And I said, I need something for hoarseness. He said, are you having pain? I said, no. He said, well, what you need is to get you something that'll keep your throat moist, peppermint candy or something. Drink water, keep your throat moist. Nothing off the shelf? No. I wish we had more good men like that. He could have told me, I recommend such and such thing, but it's going to cost you about $45. He told me don't buy anything. He told me what to do. That's the old way for good people. That's the way good people were in olden days, long time ago. So I have to speak very easily, very quiet. And they got the mic so nice. I stopped screaming about 10 years ago. I found that it doesn't help to scream. The people, if they ain't going to respond, they ain't going to respond. If they're here for, if they come to see you for a show, soon as you finish, the words are lost. Only the show is remembered. And we don't want that. Yes, getting back to our focus for this presentation today, our focus is on sameness. Sameness. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the prophet, he talks of his fast. And he says his fast is to serve the suffering, help those who are suffering, to relieve their miseries. That was his fast. Now, we know our fast is for God. But God says, what you offer me does not reach me. Only your obedience reaches me. God loves your obedience because he knows your obedience is going to make you a better creation and a much more useful creation to yourself and to others, especially to your family. God knows that. So God says, only your taqwa reaches him. Only your obedience reaches him. If only my obedience reaches my God, then who is benefiting directly from my... Nothing can benefit God. Benefit means you added something. God got everything. No matter what we give him, we're not giving him anything because he already got everything. So who's benefiting? We are. The fasting person benefits, and the fasting person is made a better person, more conscious person, more sympathetic person when suffering is noticed or observed. So our fast is not different in terms of where the benefits go or who benefits. It's not different from the fast of the prophet of the Old Testament, are the fasts of the faithful religious people, Old and New Testament, and even other books are to be included other than the Bible and the Quran. The fasting benefits the individual, making the individual know the suffering of the poor. So I guess this is how my neighbor feels all the time. You know he's hungry, you know he's poor. He's not eating good, so you become aware of his pain that he experiences all the time, maybe every day. But this is just something you volunteered to do for God's sake, for 1 month. So it increases your awareness of the suffering of others who are not volunteering. They can't help it. So in the month of Ramadan, great charity, go to the suffering people. If you cannot fast the month, God says, if you're able to, if you have means, then feed 60 persons. And we know that at the end of the fast month, we go to the Eid prayer, and before we join the congregation for the Eid prayer, we give money again for those who are not fortunate enough to have it or to have the means. Sadaqah, Sadaqah al-Eid, the gift or the charity for the Eid day, for the celebration. Eid means the celebration day, Eid day. So our fasting is for God so that we have our spirit or our obedience come closer and closer to what God wants of us. And it is expected that we will help others who are suffering, share with them our food, our drinks, our earnings, so that misery and suffering become less and less in the community of mankind. Muslims are all over the world. Muslims started in Mecca, Arabia, the land of the Arabs, in the desert, in the sand. Since then, it has gone firstly to Africa, but then to the Mediterranean area, finally to Spain and Europe. And preachers have now taken the religion of Islam all around the world. All around the world. In the north, Canada, all the northern area, South America, everywhere, they are Muslims. And they are Christians too, everywhere, all over the world. The two big followings of the religion that's built called the heavenly religions. Why are they called the heavenly religions? Because we believe that God sent his word down to human beings. He chose righteous servants of excellent character and nature to deposit his word into them so that they would give his word to others. We believe in revelation. We believe that God reveals, God communicates, God talks to a human being. Yes. So we are called heavenly faiths or heavenly religions. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and perhaps some others. These are the major ones, the most noticeable ones. So many followers everywhere. So the nature of our obedience for Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and many others too that we don't know about, perhaps, is the same. The nature is to give ourselves to God as a debt to Him. And this is very important for this audience. That is mostly Muslims, but I do feel that there are some Christians in this audience. There are some I've been knowing for years, and they wear Muslim names. But they are Christians, and I love my Christian brothers. Yes, here's what we should know, what we should know. That is, intent. If your intent is good, you are accepted by God. You can not know God as a Muslim knows God, but if your intent is good, you're accepted by God. Now, if your intent is bad and you are a Muslim, you're going to hell and God doesn't care for you at all. Muhammad, the prophet, said, in Islam, matters are judged by intent, the intention. Niyah. It's judged by the intention. So let us get away from this habit. It's nothing but a habit. I know many of us, we are good-hearted people, but we have some bad habits, some bad-hearted habits, if I can express it that way. We have some bad-hearted habits. Thinking you're the only one righteous because you're a Muslim. You're the only one that's got the religion right because you're a Muslim. That doesn't necessarily have to be so. If you would take at random a sister here, a brother there, sister here, brother there, sister, and ask all of them, what is the beauty of Islam? What makes you love this religion or want to be a Muslim? You might get as many answers as you get persons, as you selected persons. You might get the answers will resemble each other. Then you might get answers from some, no resemblance. Answers resemblance didn't resemble the other. The answers got them from others. In order for us to have the right picture of Islam, we have to have good intentions and the right heart. If your heart is right, you don't enjoy seeing other people suffer, no matter what their religion is. If your heart is right, you don't feel happy only when you make a big buck. You're happy when your brother or your sister or even just another human being makes a big buck. We have to learn to rejoice, to feel good upon seeing others lifted up or made richer. That's a petty thing in us. It's very common, and therefore it's very natural that we who have been poor for so long, we've been poor for longer than we've been living. We have inherited a quiet awareness deep down inside that I lived in my father and he was poor. I lived in his father and he was poor. And you go back and back and back, and your presence goes back in time, and you're aware that you've been poor for many lifetimes. Because you ain't happy to see no other people getting over, and you ain't. It can be your sister or your brother in your own family. How come it had to be that nigger? We have to get rid of that. Yes. Get rid of that. It's not you. That's your mistake. They're not really you. That's your mistake. You really, if you had the chance to think it over, you really would feel good about what others are enjoying. You feel good. You would share their enjoyment. You would share it. But it's a habit. Habit. Yeah. I wonder how you got that new car. I bet he paid $50,000 for a car like that. That shouldn't even interest you. The only car you should be interested in is how much it costs, the car you buy, because you got to have enough money to pay for it. The Arabs have been influenced by this religion to come up with expressions like this. Don't try to look into the cooking pot. of your neighbor. The neighbor's cooking pot is the neighbor's business. Now, that only means don't look in the cooking pot. Just don't be looking and peeping, trying to see what somebody else got. It spoils the soul. It spoils the soul. And if the soul is spoiled, everything else eventually is spoiled. The way you think, the way you behave. Yes. So, this brings us to now faith. I mentioned the great patriarch, Abraham. Peace be upon him. As the man of great faith, strong faith. Allah says in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet, when he was noticed by other people carrying out his responsibility to his Lord, his God, his mission, when he was on his mission, they said, "We have heard a caller calling to faith, and we have responded, saying, we believe."
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call Alright, Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. Alright, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim journalists, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.